Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Please get somebody in there that can maybe give the kid a little bit of confidence going into year two. I don't know. He's not really a kid. He's older, but still, he's a rookie. So you got to get somebody in there. I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, Brian Callahan's dad's on the damn staff, Bill Callahan. It ain't going to be him. So I'm not sure who I'd want to give it to. There can't be anybody on that staff that's that great. But they obviously needed a breath of fresh air, and Cam needed a breath of fresh air. And
can help you attract, you know, some pretty good candidates, too. The fact that you got a number one pick in Cam Ward, and the fact that you have the Caleb Williams story going on right now with Ben Johnson. Hopefully, if that's continued in an upward trajectory, who knows? That's still to be determined. But that's what you tell yourself, is that we can't let Cam Ward get used to losing around here in a loser-type attitude, or see a franchise that has no plan, and that's what they were with Brian Callahan.
Yep.
Let's get something in here, even within the interim, that's got something that shows him we're about change when we know it's right. We can look in the mirror. The guy was going up on the podium and saying, we're ASS right now.
Yep.
Like, you can't have your face of the franchise saying it, especially when it's true. Can't have him out there believing that, saying that. You got to show him something.
Exactly.
You're going to get him a plan.
My guess is
the right move.
My guess is, I don't think they've announced it yet, Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator, will be the interim. He's got some experience. He's been around a lot of places. His defenses in Philadelphia and Baltimore were always pretty good. And the Titans' defense isn't bad. I mean, it's probably the only unit that looks decent.
Well, like you said, it's got an anchor.
I don't know how I can possibly make the OC the interim when the offense has looked as bad as it's looked. So,
right.
I think it's got to be Denard Wilson.
That's a good call. Probably is. Because,
we'll
like you said,
think.
Your OC doesn't have a plan.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We just saw that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Well, you know, because didn't he relinquish the play call duties to Bo Hardegree?
I thought so.
A couple of weeks back?
Yeah.
So you can't give it to him because he's been calling the plays the last couple of weeks. They put up 10 points. And last week was a miracle. That was only because the Arizona Cardinals, exploded on themselves. So that has nothing to do with the Titans.
Yeah, it wasn't just about the fumble. Remember, they had the pick and then fumbled it back. And
yes.
Lockett picks up in the end zone.
Exactly.
Nuts.
Exactly right. So I'm assuming it will be Denard Wilson, but I don't have confirmation on that. Because he just makes the most sense to me. Like, I got to go with the units that, like, produce. I mean, the Raiders only having 20 points. They were given amazing field position, every damn possession, it felt like. So
I know when we fired Eberflus, as a fan, it gave me all kinds of hope. I mean, I was excited. I imagine there are many a Titans fan out there, if not 90-something% of the fan base, that's elated on this day, because again, it's a restoring of hope in the sense that, okay, let's go get us an offensive guy that can try to maximize what we have here in terms of this pick, this number one pick in Cam Ward. It was an exciting day for me when we moved on from Eberflus. So I think Titans fans should probably feel the same way.
This is what Chad Brinker, the president of football operations, said. After extended conversation with our owner and GM, we met with Brian Callahan this morning to tell him we are making a change at head coach. These decisions are never easy, and they become more difficult when they involve people of great character. We are grateful for Brian's investment in the Titans and Tennessee community during his tenure as head coach. We thank him and his family for being exemplary ambassadors of the Tennessee Titans. And then he goes on, while we are committed to a patient and strategic plan to build a sustainable winning football program, we have not demonstrated sufficient growth. Our players, fans, community deserve a football team that achieves a standard we are not currently meeting, and we are committed to making the hard decisions necessary to reach and maintain that standard. I would contend that this was not a hard decision,
and he's not your guy.
That's
exactly
right. This isn't like firing a coach, for after they don't win a game in the playoffs or something. That's a hard decision when you know, like, you've topped out. You know, like, what, you know, the Grizzlies have done that many, many times, right?
That or the guy that you hired, and you still believe in him a little bit, but he's not getting the results, and he's your man. That's a little tougher to do.
The Grizzlies firing Taylor Jenkins was a tough decision.
Yeah.
This
guy was brought on by the GM you just fired.
Wasn't even your guy, and he stinks. Yes. What's so difficult about that?
It's a very easy decision, but of course it's going to be phrased that way.
Yeah, it is. You're right. We can't say what character thing. We want to get one more week.
Like, what did y'all think?
Dead man walking.
I was supposed to keep this guy?
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see who the interim is, if it makes an impact again. It's the return of Vrabel, to Nashville.
So that's
this weekend.
Okay.
No, there's no bye.
Yeah. That's this weekend. Got it.
Yeah. So no word yet again on who the interim is going to be.
Man, Vrabel's probably got a better quarterback than he ever had with the Titans. Is that true?
Yes. Ryan Tannehill was limited.
And he was a one seed 1 year with the
Bucs. He was. Yeah.
Drake May's starting to come around.
Yep. I don't know. Like, I was really excited to bet the Patriots this weekend, -6.5, but I don't know if I can necessarily get to it now, because he's like, they will look better. This always happens in the NFL, bro.
The Titans. Because of the little fired coach.
It always happens. Yeah. Like, there's just going to be a new, when there's a new voice, and there's a new, you want to go hard for the guy in his first,
And the Patriots still turn it over, and they have no run game.
That's right.
So while Drake May's looking better, they're still turning it over,
exactly
been sloppy, and it's zero run game, bro.
And it's like peak motivation, too, because it's Vrabel coming back.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like literally like max motivation, and it's
Jeffrey's been there that long, right?
And I'm going to be honest.
He goes back to,
Jeffrey
Simmons.
He does.
How many years has Jeffrey Simmons been in the league?
I think since 2019 or 2020. Yeah. So he had a couple of years.
That dude's a stud. I'd take him in.
So it's like, especially if it's Denard Wilson, too, because he's a defensive guy.
All right.
Like, I just feel like that defense will go really hard this weekend.
I'm just saying, there's nothing that a defensive guy does for Cam Ward is all.
No,
I'm
that's true, but so, it's a so temporary.
I get it. Yeah. At least that our guy, I think it was Thomas, Thomas Smith. I can't remember his name. Our interim. That was the thing though. Eberflus was a defensive guy, and you brought in your quarterbacks coach. I think you made him the interim. He wasn't with the old system. What Waldron had done, he tried to coach Caleb. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's probably nothing to be gained.
I will say this. Like, I don't want to say his name in case he doesn't want me to put his name out there, but I got a text from a Titans fan who's listening, and he does make the point that Adam Strunk is running a horrendous franchise. They have fired John Robinson, they have fired Mike Vrabel, they have fired Rand Carthon, they have now fired Brian Callahan. There has been absolutely zero stability in that organization.
Well, I would say that Rand Carthon hiring Brian Callahan was a bad.
Well, he tells me Brinker was a part of that.
Okay.
But it's
got it. Okay.
I don't know. You never know who.
But
who.
I'm with it. They're not on the same. Believe me, I come from it. The Bears, and not having the GM with the coach with the quarterback all on the same page. So I can recognize the dysfunction.
Yes.
Certainly. But I don't. Was Rand good? Based on what we'd seen, it didn't look like it. And so I don't know about this new GM, but I just know Brand had made a bad coaching hire, and you got to get that out of there.
Oh,
he's right about never firing, shouldn't have fired Vrabel.
People on Twitter point out that she didn't, Amy Adams Strunk didn't want to give Mike Vrabel the chance to run it up on the guy they replaced him with. And that's why they're doing it. I mean, they should have done it again weeks ago, probably, but like, they had to do it now because they know that Vrabel would have come in there and whooped his ass.
You literally couldn't fire him after the Arizona win.
That's right.
You couldn't.
But yeah, I do.
Probably would have done it.
That organization, like, it does make.
No, I'm not. They're right.
I mean, think about it. Like, the Grizzlies have their front office is. I mean, there was once a time when it was pretty dysfunctional, with Levian and Stu Lash and all that. But for the most part now, like, their front office has been very stable. Same guys. You got Wexler. You got Kleiman, you got Tayshaun. Like, it's kind of been the same group of. We can argue about the results on the court, but like for the and the moves, but they've all been on the same accord, and it can get ugly, like we're seeing in Nashville, where it's just a revolving door of coaches and GMs and disaster areas, and that's what it is. And it's because of the owner, right? I mean, she's sort of over that.
Well, moving on from Vrabel would be the one for me.
Yes. Yes,
wasn't a parting. That was a firing.
They fired him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that guy had done more with less than any coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and he took a year off, and then he got back in.
Yeah, now he's about to build.
Not only did they, I mean, think about it. They also let Derrick Henry go. I mean, who clearly had a lot left.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he wanted out because everything was going out at the same time. Because they're like, that last game, they beat the Jags, and like Derrick Henry like took a mic and like addressed the crowd in Tennessee, you know?
No, they fired a good one in Vrabel. We fired a good one in Lovie Smith back in the day,
yeah.
Off a 10-win season.
Yeah.
And have regretted it ever since.
So, yeah, we'll see exactly what they do at interim, but Brian Callahan will finish with a 4-19 record as the Titans head coach. And I believe
I thought it was 3-19.
4-19.
4-19. I gotta give him one more.
Against the spread as well.
Yeesh.
Nice and terrible. All right, we'll come back. Respect Burgers, then Jeff Calkins. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN?
Now, usually this portion of the show on Mondays is reserved for only me to speak. John does a lot of checking on his bets.
I got to monitor. No. I have to monitor my positions. Can we just start framing this like we're, you know, educated and sophisticated traders, please?
John has a system.
It's not betting, it's predicting.
He's checking his positions while I go through and hand out, cook the respect burgers, and then hand them out. And then usually King G just remains, unless he's great. If you need him, he's there.
He's listening.
You're rolling.
He's listening.
But he is engaged.
He's 100%
he's
engaged.
All times. I feel like this is his main job, right? Not one of 100 jobs. That said, I've not heard you gentlemen say the two words that I said in the first hour. This is going to be about you speaking. Kurt Cignetti, go. Give him his flowers. Give him his flowers. Indiana football is real.
Yes.
Kurt Cignetti, go. What's left to be said, right?
Actually, I do this BetMGM Network show every week, and before the game started, I had a long thing about him where, you know, maybe I'll send it to George here.
Are you telling me you picked this?
I mean, I don't want to say I.
You did. He didn't. He didn't.
I want
he put his hand up.
I just sent it to your DMs. I want you to listen to it. It's from this BetMGM. It's called BetMGMU.
Well, while George is calling up, I'll let you know that it was Indiana's first win over a top five team. Their 30-20 win. This was at Oregon. Obviously, Oregon previously number three in the country since 1967.
Good
they beat
Lord.
A then number three Purdue team. So the name Kurt Cignetti right now, you say it in Indiana, boy, it is echoing throughout
it
the
is.
State. Man, we'll never have to buy a beer again
no.
in the state of Indiana. Question's going to be now, can they keep him?
That's right.
Can now, they keep him?
Take a listen to this was recorded on Thursday night.
Okay. Give John a ding if we can.
See? And then Penn State went on to lose Northwestern home. So that was
that's good stuff. It qualifies. Yeah, this is not just a deal where you're patting yourself on the back.
No, this was before the game.
No, this is very well done. Very well done. And Kurt, he quietly kind of talks his stuff, but backs it up. Maybe not as boisterously or taking off his shirt in a way that Dan Lanning would. But he said it. And listen, you know, a lot of the talk was about, you know, what they did offensively. Fernando Mendoza hit the key fourth quarter touchdown pass, and I think it was Hemby. Added a pair of scoring runs for them. I think defensively is where I was most impressed, holding that Oregon offense to fewer than 300 yards, 267 total, just 81 on the ground. That's 2.7 yards per carry. I was not ready for the Indiana defense to look that good on the road again at Oregon. So shout out to Cignetti. Shout out to Indiana, who will be favored in the rest of its regular season games.
Yep.
That is for sure.
See you in the Big Ten title game.
So John's on the Rocky on Rushmore. He's carving out Cignetti's face.
Yeah.
And clearly
so
they
it'll
have
be, Ohio State, Indiana, right?
Carved out their way 100% to the title game and going to be favored in the rest of their games. Yeah, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Penn State. That one's at Penn State, but
who cares?
They no longer have James Franklin.
Aller's out anyway.
Aller's out for the season. Then Wisconsin, they wrap up at Purdue. So they're going to run it. And what a big one that will be against Ohio State. But shout out to Cignetti and the Hoosiers. Who's your daddy getting it done? All right, moving on. John thought I was going to be mentioning this guy first hour, and we should. Rico Suave Dowdle.
Rico!
Steamrolled the Cowboys.
The Dowdler.
He told them before the game to buckle up. So you have the bulletin board material you need if you are Dallas.
That's right.
And yet they wasn't buckled up. That is the quote that Dowdle said after the game. They wasn't buckled up after a team record 200. This is a Carolina team record 239 scrimmage yards against the team that chose not to re-sign him after his 2024 season, in which he rushed for 1,000 yards. Many did not know that. This dude 473 scrimmage yards the past two games, and so Dallas had every reason to know this was coming and know what he was capable of, having had him and then seeing what he did last week. and they still could not stop it. Keep in mind, this is coming in place of Chuba Hubbard, who is their number one back. And as John's pointed out, they've paid, and you're getting it done without him. It's really helped Bryce Young out. It's really helped the Panthers out. They get the win. But to back up your talk like that, we don't often see it in NFL.
No, you do not.
And not certainly not to this degree. You know, maybe you have a guy, oh, yeah, we're going to win, whatever. They get the – not to this degree. I'm going to run over them. Basically, they better buckle up. And he does. He backs up all the talk. But all of a sudden, Carolina with three wins? Three wins? Can't even believe I'm saying Carolina with three wins. All of a sudden, they're not so much a mess in NFC South, in which they've been a mess for a long time. I'm most happy for – this is great for Dowdle. I love personally that the team got behind him and took this upon themselves. He was getting some good blocking and everything else. But I really like it for Bryce Young, because Bryce Young, who I had written off at one point, you know, not a bad kid, good kid. Just wondered, is he too small to play this game? And then more importantly, is Carolina putting enough around him? Remember, they traded Thielen this year, but I like Tet. He's a good one. But they traded Thielen this year. He seemed like the kind of veteran wide receiver that can still help a young quarterback. I guess we had seen that already with his time there. But Bryce Young now starting to come around, and he's got a team that's all on board. And right now they're riding Rico Suave. And then finally
– the Dowdler. You just got I texted Ben Hogan. I said, Ben Hogan, you just got Dowdled.
You seem to be running it up on Ben Hogan in fantasy.
I ran it up on his ass.
After an 0-3 start, John has come from the dead.
Let's hope this is like the lease negotiations, because we have heated up.
That's true. John's name is FedEx Forum Lease Negotiations. We may want to root for him in the hopes that it will be an omen for things to come in terms of the real front.
Continue to Grizzlies not get double-digit scoring from my quarterback.
I don't guess attendance going to matter at all in factoring that in, just if your team continues to.
It's all about the dubs.
Don't interrupt. That team doesn't get still got much to prove of FedEx Forum Lease Negotiations before it gets a respect burger. But how could you not give one to Baker Mayfield? All right. I'm doing it for the whole season, really. But Baker Mayfield, if you saw that run, we talked about it first hour in that win. And I know that 49ers team that they beat is all banged up. Credit to them, too, what they're doing. Lost Fred Warner for the season. Jeez. Another one bites the dust. They lost Bosa on defense early this year for the season.
That hurt.
Now you lose Fred Warner, who's only missed one game in his entire career.
Yep.
But the story continues to be a man who John is right. You can go with Josh Allen. You can go with some of the usual suspects in MVP, and you'd have a good case, maybe a winning case. But Baker Mayfield right now is 12 touchdowns, one interception, and when he is running crazy, because the dude is not a pretty watch to when he runs the ball. But he gets it done. He's running guys over. Last 5 yards of that first down run, he needed it. When he got up, man, you could see him flexing the energy. This little dude, but he's a little big dude. I swear he plays like he's 6'8", 250 in terms of the way he's willing to take on defenders when he's got to get the yards rushing. And, again, look at what he's doing passing. No mistakes, just the one interception on the season. 1,500 yards already. Keep in mind, Egbuka went down. He already didn't have Godwin and Mike Evans yesterday.
Yep.
So the 49ers are banged up, but so are the Bucks, and he's still finding a way to get it done. I think he's a great story, a guy we'd written off. He's taken all of Geno Smith's powers or any that Geno thought he had about being written off coming back. Baker Mayfield's been doing that, and he's continuing to do it at a high level again this season.
Absolutely. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, come back with Jeff Calkins, talk to him about all of this, Memphis, USF, all that and more. Jason and John are trying to find ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, Adichon FM, ESPN, and I don't know, maybe Jeff Calkins can help us figure out this whodunit. Alibis, things like that. He joins us now from parts unknown. So here's what happened, Jeff, because I know you're not here today.
Right.
You know, we're in a time where, you know, crime is over, right? Crime is done. The National Guard is
cleared
here.
Cleared up. Yeah, thank
exactly.
God.
Like a bad cold. And I walk up to the studios, and it's a scene that, you know, I have to say is beyond description. It's unimaginable. On the door, when we walk into the back of the studios, is a Navy football schedule plastered to the door. Pick yourself up. A Navy football schedule plastered to the door. Can you believe it?
Is that the whole thing you're telling me about?
That's the whole thing. I mean, but this is vandalism. This is desecration. This is an insult to this place. Who would do such a thing?
A large Navy football schedule?
A very large Navy football schedule. Huge. The biggest Navy football schedule you will ever see.
Well, what's weird is that, so you have to understand, I was at a wedding in a camp in Maine. So I have a pretty good alibi, right? I was at a wedding at a camp in distant Maine. No anything. No access to the world. Now, we're in the midst of what you would call a nor'easter, which is a giant-ass storm. Our flights are being all screwed up. So instead of flying out of Logan, we are desperately in our rental car driving to Manchester, New Hampshire, where, you know, we didn't even know if we were allowed to drop our rental car in Manchester, New Hampshire, but we're trying to make a flight in Manchester, New Hampshire, instead of the flight from Logan. And in the midst of it, I am gobsmacked by this act of blatant criminality at the at 92.9. So this is all, it's quite a buffeting I'm receiving this morning.
Yes.
And in terms of
likely suspects.
Yeah, here's the thing though. If you were gonna wouldn't it be a South Florida schedule that you
want to
put on?
That's what I said. It's like Navy is like, yes, they're on the schedule, but we don't perceive them as the biggest
enemy.
Obstacle.
I mean, and we are all, you know, we are all Navy. You know, like we believe in the American Navy still, you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, I'll be honest. I used to get would the National Guard even care about this? Like, it's one of them, you know,
right.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe by bringing in the National Guard, all of a sudden you're going to have, you know, random ass Navy and Army and whatever else schedules popping up all over, like a crime wave of this.
Yeah, no, it's clearly a wave. It's clearly targeted. And I've since reached out to Pam Bondi, you know, and Cash Patel.
That's good.
I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to know who's responsible. Now, in terms of possible alibis, we've talked about it. This has the feel of a Ron Olson special. However, he's in California.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You can set this stuff up, and then you...
Oh, you think he hired someone to do this?
A hitman, as it were. You know? A tape man. A hitman. That's what you do. You go as far as you can from the scene of the crime. You put yourself as far as you can. Now, I'm in California. You know, John Stacy, who I've had on the show a fair bit, right? Now, he's a dyed-in-the-wool Tiger fan. He's also in the Navy, though. Like,
right.
You know, he was in the Navy.
Yeah.
There's some Navy. There are lots of. Let's be honest. We have a heavy Navy presence in town.
That's right.
So I would. I mean, you got to start in Millington, don't you? I have to start the investigation in Millington.
Yes. I was thinking about, like, there's nobody here on the station or the stations. A, we don't really have that many people anymore. But B, none of them have ties to Navy.
Oops.
That I believe.
You know what I nearly did then? I nearly just died. My level of commitment to radio, Claire is shaking her head.
Thank you.
I just switched lanes. It's pouring rain. The person behind me was honking desperately as if I knew. And in fact, we nearly died.
Just let Claire hold the phone, man. Damn.
That would have been even worse than the Navy affront. Can you explain to me? It is amazing. Like, while I was in Portland, all the things that happened, it's like, I don't know how you figure out college football now. Like, how in the world do you explain Indiana losing to Oregon and Penn State losing to Northwestern? The whole thing is just craziness. Oklahoma losing to getting throttled by Texas. I do think, and maybe this is a point you made, as I was sitting in my little bunk bed in my cabin, I was thinking maybe we take the consistency of Ryan Silverfield and the Memphis Tigers for granted, because it's nuts what's happening in college football.
Yeah, I mean, James Franklin's fired. I mean, that, you know, that's kind of a nuts thing to – I mean, they didn't even let him finish the season.
Goes from 2 weeks ago, you know, playing for – you know, playing Oregon for who's going to, you know, be ranked number one sort of thing,
yep,
or whatever.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you're out on your ass.
How about
$40 million? How about this, by the way? You know how they're always saying the conferences that we need the SCORE Act to save college football, right? Because if we don't have it, you know what's going to happen? All the Olympic sports are going to be cut. That's what they always threaten. The Olympic sports are going to be cut. The women's sports are going to be cut. And then they find $40 million to pay a guy to not coach.
No question.
It's preposterous.
Well, and Florida State's going to have the same decision because Mike Norvell just lost his eighth straight ACC game. And the most shocking news of the weekend, UAB fires Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, you talk about a guy that didn't get enough of a shake. You know, the only thing I lament is that they did it before the Memphis game. It would have been really nice to have put the nail in that coffin.
Do you think it's going to be an inspired? Do you think if this is going to be like UCLA?
No.
After they made the change, they're going to get an inspired UAB team.
I'm not even sure that what that even looks like, right? And, okay, so now you lose by 24 instead of 38.
Right.
So I don't really think they're. I think that's. It's not just a coaching situation. It's also a talent situation at UAB, an NIL situation. I don't think that Trent did a good job in any realm whatsoever. So will there be a new coach bump? Probably, because he was so arrogant. He was such an arrogant coach, and was always calling people out and threatening people, and you know thought he was just going to waltz in and be able to. And he was Larry Porter levels of terrible.
He is Larry Porter levels of terrible.
I mean, seriously.
This is their Larry Porter era. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so they obviously kind of have to make a decision here. But, yeah, I think your initial point, as we, you know, I'm not sure we'll ever, we'll have to check the probably, if we have functioning security cameras, we're probably going to find out. You know, I don't know that we do, though. So we'll have to see if we kept the subscription to that.
What we learned from Mark Sanchez is that every place has security cameras, you know.
That is true.
You can't just tell a lie anymore.
We do live in an incredibly, like, surveilled
time. It is
time.
Amazing. Although, I think you make a good point. 92.9 may be the one place where there's no cameras. You know, there's no cameras, period.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out in a minute, you know, like, if we have, like, a cloud data package that we pay a monthly subscription to see for CCTV. But you know what? I do take solace in this. We're at least in a business park, so we can go up to somebody else that does if we don't, you know? But
exactly.
No, I think your initial point is correct. Like, look, Navy's on the schedule. They're a threat, but the real threat is South Florida. I mean, what they did on Friday, you didn't have to watch a minute of that game to know what happened. They had a terrible first quarter. Stayed in the game, had three turns in the first quarter, you know, remarkably, and went on to win the game and put up 63 on an undefeated North Texas team at their place. It was like the most
totally fired up. They're as
bonkers.
Fired up as you could most fired bonkers. Up be, and you just got destroyed.
And they just laid waste to them. So that's like, oh, my God. I mean, it's like a revelation. It's like I wanted South Florida to win, but I didn't want them to do it that damn nicely.
Yeah, what people may not realize is there I was in my camp, in my little bunk bed, in my cabin, and I got a call from John, and John was like, holy crap, we could have a problem here. like, this could be a problem. I did not see it. The score sort of speaks for itself, but you came away really worried about what of the threat that South Florida poses.
Yes, and the reason why, I'll be honest, is because they play the – like, I think Memphis' defense is significantly better than last season. Like, there's no denying that.
Yep.
That every single metric, supports that. But South Florida – is like a their offense is a NASCAR pit stop, dude. Like, they run a play, they get 8 yards, they're up to the line of scrimmage, and they're snapping the ball again in 7 seconds. They don't allow you to substitute. They don't allow you to, you know, think, really. It's just constant stress, constant pressure. And they have the athletes, right? They have the athletes to overcome. So I think that's a challenge that Memphis, and I know Arkansas went pretty fast, but they didn't go like this. I don't think many teams go
like
this.
No, it's going to be a contrast style.
It is.
Know?
It really is.
Because Memphis is going to be trying to control the ball and might well be able to. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I mean, you've got two very different teams, and it'll be interesting. And obviously, Memphis has the benefit of being home.
South Florida, I'm looking at this right now. Seconds per play, South Florida is second in the country. That means they're ahead of teams like Tennessee. They're ahead of teams like Ole Miss. They're ahead of teams like everybody. Okay, they're ahead of everybody. And so I don't even know like what the. I mean, FAU is actually first in the country, but they're bad. They don't have the talent. See,
right.
It's one thing to be fast when you don't have talent. Who cares? But it's another when you have talent and you're fast. By the way, are you okay?
Am I okay?
Yeah,
it just sounded like
you went ran over something or somebody.
It is kind of insanity that I'm doing this radio with. I mean, literally, the brain is pouring down. We don't know where we're going. Claire is
perfect.
She has the map up, and she's like pointing to me, like, okay, this one, 55B, this one, yes, 93 north towards Concord. That's what we're doing. So my level of commitment to this radio station, I think it absolves me from the crime.
Even if you had done it, I would say, you know, you get off. You know,
I'll be honest. I got a text this morning from someone I won't name because I don't know they want me to. It said, sorry about the station. And literally given the way that media and radio and everything is going, I thought we'd close down. I thought, well, that's we flipped the, you know, flipped
it was,
format.
It was a good run.
It
was a good run, man.
I
tweeted a picture of it. I tweeted a picture. I tweeted a picture.
Yeah, you've caused a panic because I'm getting that. I'm like, what the hell happened to the station? I literally thought, well, that's it. You know, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to run the river down our station, too. You know, that's it.
It's a monster.
Ron Olson is going to be everywhere, and 92.9 is gone. So I'm thrilled that we're still alive and kicking. Much like the Memphis Tigers,
it's actually not a bad idea. You remember Verno Radio, where it was 24 hours of Vernon? We could do 24 hours of Ron. You know
what was Verno Radio?
Yeah, I think he lost like an affiliation or something. He lost like national programming or something. Like he didn't have the ability to air that anymore, and so he just ran his show 24 hours a day
on 92.9.
No. This was 7:30. This was before he got here.
And they didn't have any other national ESPN, whatever.
Yeah, like I think he was like Fox Sports or
so
Yahoo Sports.
Ran his radio was a wild.
And like I think they had no other local programming on that station, which I think was the issue, right? Like it was just him,
right?
And so when they took that programming from under him, it put his, like what else was he going to air? The station had to air for more than 3 hours a day. It had air content,
right.
So. Anyway, that was a time. There's no question about that. But no, I tweeted that you know, over the weekend, 92.9 was vandalized and desecrated, and in a time when crime is supposed to be trending down, you know, I walk up
you
to a scene
alarm,
that
right.
was. Oh, I posted a picture. I mean, I hope that it was.
Right.
Maybe we're just living in such sensitive times where you know you can't even joke like that. But I did. So we'll see how it goes. By the way, Penny Hardaway, AAC Media Day today, the American. They were they were picked first in the American by coaches, which is not a great sign. The last two preseason picks have not won the league. And then they were actually the highest ranked team at KenPom, who dropped his rankings this weekend, which it's kind of a stark contrast from Bart Torvik, who has Memphis second. But, I mean, it does feel like, come on, like win your league, right? I mean, this is just – I know you don't know the rosters around the conference, and neither do I, honestly. I don't know the rosters either, but, like, if we can't be in a place where Penny Hardaway is just sweeping the league every year, like, we got a problem.
Well, Penny, you know, in his media availability, he made it very clear. He said, we have the, you know, biggest NIL, and he was not even shy about it, right? And that's something you only say if you're pretty confident, right? So, so yeah, I don't think there's much doubt that they should win the league. The problem is that if they don't do enough, you know, if they don't do enough in the non-conference schedule, will we, in fact, be, will it be reduced to being a one-bid league such that if you don't win, you know, the conference tournament, you're screwed. And that's the situation they want to avoid. They actually want to build in enough of a cushion that no matter what happens in the conference tournament, bad shooting day, whatever, they're still in. And so, you know, that's part of the challenge.
I want to say that this segment was a team effort. I want to thank.
It was heroic on my part.
It was.
Let's be honest. And on Claire's part.
That's what I was going to say.
As soon as we hang up, I'm going to apologize.
No, this is. But you guys made it. You guys made it through, and that's what's important. So be sure to thank Claire for me.
Get
be
to the
safe.
Bottom of it.
We will. See we'll work tirelessly. Thank you so much, Jeff. All right. He is Jeff Calkins. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. Yeah, crazy situation. I didn't exactly know what was happening. You know, with him in Maine or whatever the case may be, but sounds like he's in the middle of a crazy scene, man. So anyway, I appreciate him joining us today on the show. We're continuing to work diligently and tirelessly to get to the bottom of this. I'm not sure that we'll have the answers. Again, we do have Alan on the security footage. It's unclear if we have any. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Jason and John, I'd turn to FM ESPN.
48th anniversary sale is going on over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. I'll tell you how he and his family know what they're doing. They've been doing this for 48 years. Imagine what they're going to do for their 50th. But you can take advantage of it right now, and you need to, because this sale will end on October 25th. Listen to me very closely. 48 years of yeses makes Robert Irwin Jewelers the number one place to save forever. And from now, right now, on this date, October 13th through the 25th, like I mentioned, you can take 48% off engagement rings. What? 48th anniversary has produced a 48% off sale on engagement rings. 3/4 carat lab-grown diamond earrings on sale for $248. 3 carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet, only $948. Ask now and pay later when it comes to that engagement ring. He's got all the financing options, 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Point is, get in there, whether it's for an engagement ring or just the perfect gift for someone else, 48% off all items. Our wild supplies last. See a store for complete details about the 48th anniversary sale, how we celebrate, and you're celebrating by giving you deals, deals, deals. So get over and see him. I know it from personal experience. Best time to go see Howie is when he's got these kinds of sales going on. Go get you a deal. Shop RIJ in the Bartlett Town Center in Bartlett or the Diamond Showroom on South Perkins across from Laurelwood. Online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Well, best of luck to you tonight, my friend. Washington Commanders on the road, not going to be easy. Jaden Daniels is back.
Is Debo playing?
Debo is questionable.
I saw that could go up to the wire.
Yeah.
Maybe about an hour and a half.
Kyler Gordon is making his debut this week for you guys.
Huge.
That's exciting.
Huge. I don't know if it'll help one of the worst defenses in the league.
Right.
But it certainly will make us a little better.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. It's the
Fail Mary revenge game.
That's right.
And Tyreek Stevenson.
Jaden Daniels. He doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. It was a fluke. But it did send us in one direction and them in another.
No doubt about it, man.
Unbelievable what happened to those two teams after that game. We were 4-2, dude.
4-2. And you were, you know, 50 yards away from being 5-2.
Lost 9 straight after that, I think.
Maybe Eberflus still your coach.
No way.
Butterfly effect. Who knows? It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.